Hey yo, welcome to How to Write a Novel. So I haven't really done a proper episode from Taipei. Last episode, my little intro was from Taipei, but as kind of a pseudo travel journal, I of course still have my roaming holiday podcast. Links available at keithcourage.com if you want way too much detail about my travels lately. But for a brief overview, I've done a How to Write a Novel from pretty much every stop on my journey through Asia. So Taipei, to put it briefly, is great. I love it. I didn't really know anything about Taiwan before I came here. I just needed to kill time during the summer because I can't really fly home during the summer because it's way too hot out. And apparently that makes flight prices triple. So I just needed to kill time till the weather gets cold again. And I read somewhere that Taipei had Family Marts and 7-Elevens on every block. And that's true. They're everywhere. And they're not like, you know, South Korea, I came to have a pretty good time there. But it was tricky at first. And part of that was even just like, South Korea truly has strange food. You know, the way, like comedians would make jokes back in the 80s about like, oh, wow, sure do eat weird stuff. You heard about this sushi or whatever? But it legitimately is quite unusual cuisine in South Korea. Where Japan is just delightful and Taiwan is also delightful. Taiwan is like this really interesting mix of, you know, mainly Chinese. Everyone speaks Chinese. The signs are all in Chinese. But there's a distinct Japanese vibe here too. Specifically in the center of Taipei. There's a neighborhood called Ximen, X-I-M-E-N, that feels kind of like a little Tokyo. And it's great. And the 7-Elevens and Family Marts are also great. And right now I'm hiking through a jungle path that is beautiful and amazing, like I'm in an Indiana Jones movie. However, I don't know if you can hear it, but you will be able to soon. It's right by a subway station. So, I mean, there's like traffic near me. It won't be that long till I'm out of here. So it's the best of all worlds. It's like you can take the subway to a mountain to go hike. And that's my favorite thing ever. See, I've been having a very good time in Taipei. It's excellent. I highly recommend it. Although in the summer, it is so fucking hot. Try to avoid that. That shit's fucking insane. But I haven't done any podcasts from here because I just think this is an obnoxious podcast already. How to Write a Novel. Hey, this will probably take me 2 years. And then, 8 years later, I'm still writing the stupid fucking novel. It's kind of hit a point of ridiculousness, even just in how slow I was working. So to do podcasts about not working, that would be beyond the pale. I can't do podcasts about how I'm not getting stuff done. At least getting podcasts out that describe very slowly getting stuff done. It might be annoying how slow it is, but that's still at least proof of the process, proof that it's working. Because that's always been the point of this podcast, is like I got my own opinions about writing and style and the purpose of writing and the types of stories that I like. But all of that's subjective. The real nuts and bolts point of it is that the only way I've ever learned how to get anything done is to continuously work a little bit every day. The tiniest little bit, but as long as it's every day, it adds up. And then I've just been kind of trying to put proof to that assertion ever since of like, yeah, I'm just working and I'm slowly getting stuff done. And it's basically worked, I did stop a couple of times. I remember I stopped during a heat wave in Vancouver, and I stopped during a cold snap in my hometown during COVID because the coffee shops were closed and it was practically a polar fucking vortex. Besides that, though, I've kept going all these years. Last time I visited Asia, it slowed me down, but I did keep working consistently. When my poor father passed away, I kept working slowly but consistently. However, on this second trip to Asia, after being trapped at home for so many years with COVID and then just gorging on travel, I tried to keep writing, and I eventually realized midway through visiting Japan, like, I'm just, fuck this. I'm just done pretending. I'm giving up while I'm here. My mind is elsewhere. I just am not. It doesn't sound like it's hard to get a little bit of writing done every day, but it takes up, I've described it many times as an iceberg. You're only seeing the tip of the iceberg when you see a person sit down and write for 10 or 20 minutes. But that iceberg is filling up their whole fucking head. And while I was traveling, I was like, I just don't want the iceberg anymore. Get out of my head. Get out of here. We'll get back to this later. And I guess there was a little bit of worry that by breaking the chain, by breaking the routine, I would just go back to zero. You know, like, what if this all just collapses? What if this all just fails now? But that didn't happen. And I guess that's what I'm doing a podcast about, that I can at least be confident that that's all right. That's not going to happen. All those years I spent building up the muscle and building up the routine, those paid off. Like, even though I've taken a considerable break lately, I really think it doesn't matter. I think it's going to be okay, because once I do get back in the groove, I just fall right back into the groove. It feels very easy. It feels very natural. It feels like I just stopped writing yesterday. I haven't lost track of the story. It's not confusing in my head. I don't feel like I've lost momentum. Everything feels fine. I'm just not in the position in my routine to write. So basically, Japan was an extreme case of every single day I was off doing an adventure, off going somewhere new. On that roaming holiday podcast, you know, when the later episodes hit, once I get to South Korea and once I get to Taiwan, it's only an episode here and again. Once in a while, an episode to update on what I've been doing. Japan was nuts. I literally recorded a podcast every fucking day, because every day I was going to a new area, exploring a new thing, trying a new hike or something I'd never done before. I went hog fucking wild in Japan. So it's like, yeah, when am I supposed to fit in the writing, you know? Technically, theoretically, anywhere, right? Could just stop at a bench or something anywhere. But a big part of this, I guess, will come down to transit, to opportunity. You know, just stopping. Like, if I was to do that right now, right in this mountain trail. Actually, I even just passed a little bench. Theoretically, I could sit there and do writing, but I'm sweating my dick off and I'm in the middle of a hike, and it's like, it's not a natural thing. It would really have to be like, put the brakes on your whole day, sit down and write. It doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel comfortable. Yeah, I could force myself to do that, but I just am not gonna. It doesn't work for me, brother. And in Japan, for example, I really avoided the subways as much as I could because they're so packed and so crowded. I didn't take a subway after when I first arrived at Narita. I had to take a subway to get to my Airbnb. And then I avoided subways for weeks after that. Weeks and weeks. I literally walked all the way from Sanginjaya to Itabashi. Look that shit up sometime. I walked clear across Tokyo with all my luggage while I was switching Airbnbs rather than take a train. I walked for hours. And I think that's relevant to why I found writing so hard to do and why I got so little writing done. Because once I left Japan and I got to South Korea, things were rough at first when I got to Seoul. I got to Seoul in the winter, as I chronicled on this very podcast. It was much more polluted. The air pollution problem is much, much worse than I had understood in Seoul. And it's even worse in the winter. But I got back into my writing swing pretty fucking good there, because there was nothing else to do except go to coffee shops. You know, I didn't want to be outside for extended periods of time because you have to wear a pollution mask and it's very uncomfortable. Just creepy. So I basically fell into a routine where I went to a coffee shop one day and got writing done. And then every second day I would go out and explore a bit. And I eventually found my way to Bukansan National Park and I started having a pretty good time there despite the pollution. And even on those days, I had to take the subway to get to the entrance of the mountains. And I found that I got some writing done on those subway days as well, just being trapped in the subway. Because being trapped in the subway is like, it's not a good feeling. I don't like it. I start to go stir crazy real fast. So writing is a good thing because it just sweeps you away. It makes the trip go by so fast. If anything, you wish it was longer because you just get in a little groove and get 20 minutes of writing done and then you're at where you're trying to get to. But between those two things, I actually got quite a bit of writing done in Seoul. And then that carried on to Jecheon, similar situation. And then Busan, it was springtime by then. I liked the city a lot better. The pollution was a lot less. But I was still keeping it up. Every second day or so, I'd go to a coffee shop and get some writing done. And then I'd explore around on alternate days. But then when I got to Jeju Island, there's no more public transit. there's only buses, and the buses gave me terrible motion sickness if I looked at my phone while I was on the bus. And the coffee shop situation was tricky because the language barrier was a lot worse on Jeju. So I just gave up again. So again, it's really just the circumstances. Like, I wasn't doing so bad with writing. Like, when I look back at the pattern, it didn't go well in Japan because I never sat at coffee shops. I was always out hiking around and I never took trains anywhere. It was fine on mainland South Korea because I took trains a lot, and on alternate days I went and sat in coffee shops. Then it all fell apart on Jeju because it was tough to find coffee shops and there were no trains. Here in Taiwan, the first thing I noticed is the lack of coffee shops. Very small coffee culture here, but I found out it's because they're all about tea. They invented bubble tea here. And if you go to the convenience stores, it's kind of neat. Like, just imagine all the drinks that are normally at a convenience store and then add tea. It's kind of cool. You can just get tea versions of everything here. There's a million types of tea. My favorite one, it's a 7-Eleven exclusive, but it's like drinkable yogurt with green tea in it. And it really mixes well, like that sourness of yogurt with the bitterness of green tea. They balance each other out extremely well, and it's super fucking tasty. I love that shit. But very few coffee shops and very overpriced. Starbucks here is a nightmare, and it's not that big. They're not like these big, comfortable places where you can just sit there all day and not feel like you're taking up someone's spot. I did eventually, though, find a chain called Louisa Coffee here that usually is pretty big, and the prices are not insane. So that has been my favorite for coffee shops. But again, I'm just not getting a ton done because it's super hot out and I'm just out hiking and, well, like today, for example, today I took the train. Right now I'm by Xindian Station, X-I-N-D-I-A-N. And on my way here, again, that classic thing of like that train ride, it's like, oh, this sucks. This being stuck on the train for half an hour, I'll go stir crazy if I'm just standing here. But if I pull out the phone, the trip goes by, if anything, too fast. You know, I did a little writing on Explode. Then I switched over to The Knower, that story I have about the two girls trapped on an island. I wrote a little bit of each, and I'm going to write some more on the way home. As long as my routine involves comfortable coffee shop culture or subway train rides, then writing just starts happening again. It just slips right back in. It's just no problem. And then I presume when I get back to Canada, you know, there'll be no more hiking, there'll be no more mountains. Probably I'm going back to Toronto first to visit my friends there. My plan is just to coffee shop it up, because that is one thing Canada's got is Tim fucking Hortons. You can go get a coffee for $1.50. It's the easiest thing in the world to go to a coffee shop every day, multiple times a day if you want to. All right, I'm down at the road, but it's a very empty road. There's no traffic. Which way do I go? Hey, there's a dog. Lots of stray dogs in South Korea and Taiwan. Very rare to see a leash around these parts. All right, here's like a temple. Oh, and here's a stoplight. So all right, I'll walk this way. This must be the right way. But yeah, that's basically what I've learned on this trip, is that as long as the circumstances line up right, where it's just, you know, comfortable and convenient for me to write, you know, I'm willing to admit it. I'm fairly, I'm not disciplined. I want it to be easy and fun to write, or I don't want to do it, and I won't do it. So all I need is some coffee shops or some public transit to lock me away, and then I'm fine. And yeah, I've just been, it's been heartening to see how easy it is to go back to these stories, and that like my spotty record lately is just no big deal. Oh, there's a guy with his dog on a leash, so I spoke too soon. Man, I wonder where the heck I am. Like, I'm just on some little back street. I just walked by where that temple was. The door was open, and inside was just some people hanging out. One big fat guy didn't have a shirt on, was just slapping his belly. Like, I just assume I'm walking back towards civilization, but who the fuck knows, man? But I love this feeling. I love just walking randomly and not knowing where I am. But everything's so compact and so contained in Asia in general, but especially in Taipei. It's a very small city, that everything just connects up. You can't possibly get lost, because if you did, the only way to get lost is to be in the mountains. And the mountains are no joke. Once you hit the mountains, it's like, well, those mountains are not going to stop for the next 4 days. So you're not going in there. And I'm kind of getting used to sweating my balls off every day, but it sure is a weird feeling. It is heat unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. Ah, here's a nice overpass that I'm walking under. Almost back in civilization. So close. You know, close enough that if I just keep wandering, something'll happen. I'll find somewhere. I know there's a subway around here somewhere. But yeah, so that's a very nice thing to realize, that all of those years of building up the muscle, of building up the routine and building up the habit, definitely did pay off, because this is no problem. I really was like, geez, I hope I'm not allowing this whole thing to just crumble to pieces. And it's kind of nice to just see how fast I can spring back. Like, it's literally no problem. As soon as I line things up so that it's comfortable and convenient, or in the case of subway transit, it's harder not to write. You know, it's hard to just stand there and do nothing. It's like, please let me write. Please get me out of here. I hate this feeling of being trapped in the subway. Take me away, writing. Take me to the magical dream world of the story I'm writing. And yeah, it's just no problem. And I feel like this really still contributes to my original thesis of, like, writing a little bit every day is how to get things eventually done. Because there's no question that without writing every day, it stopped. Everything stopped. Progress completely stopped to total fucking zero. There's not some sneaky way to still get stuff done when you're not getting anything done, which is the most obvious statement in the world. Of course there's not. How would things get done? How would they? But I mean, I guess, you know, because the whole thing, it's like nothing about this podcast has been complicated. It's very obvious advice. But if it's so obvious, why doesn't everybody just do it? You know, just work every day and things will eventually get done. Otherwise, they won't. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't used to do this either. So it's like, what did I think was going to happen? How did I think this was ever going to work? And this really just confirms it. Like, yeah, there's no way around this, you know? These stretches where I didn't do anything, you know, the most notable being Japan and Jeju, where I just almost did nothing. Then almost nothing got done. That's it. That's all there is to it. Then when I got to Seoul and Jecheon and Busan, where I was at least back up to like 50% power, then I got 50% stuff done as I normally would. It's just that simple. Like, there's nothing else to it. It's a one-to-one. You do some work, you get some work done. You don't do the work, you get no work done. Taipei is the land of scooters, by the way. I never knew that about this place. The first night I was here, I just saw scooters everywhere. And I was like, is this like a scooter convention? What is happening? But right now I'm walking down between some apartment buildings and it's just rows of scooters parked on both sides. The traffic here is at least 50% scooters. At least. It might be more than cars. There's so many scooters. They have dedicated scooter lanes and stuff on the highways and the bridges. Random beeping, though. Like, I don't know what that beeping was. Probably a bus. There is a surprising amount of random beeps in this city. There we go. There's a convenience store. Not one of the big two. This is an OK Mart, but back to civilization. Back to a big intersection. So yeah, now that I'm back in the noise of traffic, maybe I shouldn't yammer too long. Oh, I see I'm like pretty much halfway between the two subway stops. Xinjiang and Xinjiang District Office. I guess I can pick my poison. I think I'll go to the Xinjiang District Office station. But yeah, it's nice to see that once I get back on the saddle, everything is just back to normal and everything is going fine again. Though I guess I will say, I mean, there was a part of me in the back of my mind where the larger part of me was like, whatever, just enjoy your fucking traveling, enjoy the trip, don't fucking worry about it. But there is a part in the back of my mind that was like, you know, maybe you should be a little mindful of what's going on here, because this is traditionally what always used to happen. You'd write something till you were 3/4 of the way done or halfway done or whatever, and mysteriously stop and always just come up with some justification or come up with no justification, just stop. And then realize months later, oh shit, when did I stop? So I was like, is this happening again? I mean, this time I'm ludicrously close to the end. You know, not really, because then I got a fucking revise and edit this story, and then I got to figure out what to do with it. I mean, in the grand scheme, I'm nowhere near the end, but as far as just the first draft, I'm so close to the end. I'm 90% done. You know, it would be fucking insane to stop right now. But I was like, you know, maybe I should be a little mindful of that. Like, what if my subconscious is tricking me? What if I'm doing that again? What if I'm self-sabotaging myself? What if I'm stopping not because of travel and not because of all these things I just said? What if I'm stopping because my brain is afraid to finish? And that certainly is something to be mindful of, because I got to admit, having taken a little break and then hopping back in, I took a look just at the notes that I have left, and there's so few. It's crazy. It's like the station is in the process of exploding. It's about to be done for. And then she flies up to a ship to rendezvous with her people, and then the end. And just seeing how shockingly little notes are left and how close I am to the end, I did have a moment where it felt a bit like falling off a cliff. Of like, oh fuck, I'm so close to the end. And I mean, I just really can't deny that there's a huge part of me that doesn't want to be done. I don't want to face the future, you know? I don't want to have to deal with the outside world. If I'm just writing this story all by myself, just me and the story, it's my nice little zen thing that I do theoretically every day. Having to care about the outside world, and will anyone care about this, and will anyone like it? Will I ever be able to get it published? Will anyone ever care? And then the additional concern of like, what would be worse? Would it be worse if no one cared, or would it be worse if people did care? I know myself well enough to know that I would not handle celebrity well. It would not be to my benefit to be a big famous writer. I don't think I would handle it well. I don't think my attitude would handle it well. I don't think my ego would handle it well. I think I would be a big dickhead. I don't think it would be healthy for me at all. I think it would make my life worse. It would make my life better for the opportunities it would open up, you know, that it would make it easier to publish the next book, or maybe I could talk somebody into letting me direct a movie or something. But in my day-to-day, I'm obviously just better off, and I'm a more stable, happier person when I'm just wandering around, just doing my own thing. Success would absolutely not be a good thing for me. I don't know. So it's just like, ugh, why am I doing this? Maybe I should just stop. Maybe I should just leave this in the shoebox under my bed, metaphorically speaking. Because writing this book is a very cool, fun, interesting, intellectually stimulating, valuable thing for me personally. But trying to present it to the world, where's the upside there? You know, I'm not really sure. So there's no question, I mean, that I do have those concerns. Seeing how close I was to the end, it was like a cold bucket of water in the face. It was like, oh, that's actually scary. I don't like that, and I don't want that. But I mean, I guess I'll just do it. I don't know. But there's no question, I mean, that is a legitimate part of my subconscious to keep an eye on. That's obviously part of what's going on, but I really am quite confident that the major situation here is purely a mechanical one. Just once my routine changed to sweating to death and hiking up mountains every day as I gallivant around Asia, just doesn't fit. I remember I said way back in an early episode that my vision of a writer is always like a guy, you know, like an old-timey writer. You think of somebody in England in the winter when it's all rainy and gloomy and shitty, and this guy is in his like his old ass drafty house at his roll top desk at the edge of a cliff looking out into the sea writing a novel, right? You do not think of the guy in the Caribbean writing a novel. It just doesn't fit. Like when you're that hot every day, your brain just doesn't fucking work that way. You can't focus on a novel. You can't write a fucking novel. And that's just absolutely true. That's just how it is here. When I'm just like right now, it's like I was in a pool. It's disgusting. My shirt is just wet with sweat, and that's how it is every day. And you know, it's fine for hiking. It's fine for just something you don't have to focus on. But to sit down and focus on writing a novel when it's 37 degrees Celsius suck my fucking dick. It's not gonna happen, you know? It is just, it's insane. You just can't do that shit. So yeah, I'm quite confident that even though there is no doubt part of me that's trying to sabotage myself, that's worried about finishing the book, that doesn't want to present it to the world, that does not like the idea of the world either accepting or rejecting this book, they're both a bad outcome. So that's definitely in there, but I'm quite confident because still, once I get back into the groove of writing, it just comes back so easy and it's so nice and it's just like, yay, I'm writing my books again. I just think it's the mechanical truth of travel. The two things just don't fit together. They just don't mix. But it's interesting to learn that too, because I'm always like presuming that the next leap will be the leap home of like, you know, things are just going slow right now because of COVID. Things will be easier when I'm traveling. I can just walk around and go to a coffee shop. But now that I'm here, I'm like, oh no, that was not true. Not true at all. Walking around Asia and hiking up mountains actually makes it significantly harder to write. But now I know. Now I know, so there's no need to beat myself up about it. Because who cares? Not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. I'll be back to Canada soon enough. And then just to take my mind off of the monotony of a flat country with no fucking mountains, I'll just head back to the coffee shops and get back to writing. Alright, I'm nearing the subway. Oh shit, it's right here. So song of the day. This is kind of an interesting one. So there's this band, 21 Pilots. You probably heard of them. They've been around a while. They're pretty famous. I don't really know this band, but all I do know of them is that my cousin, who we have very similar musical tastes. Generally, if he likes something, I will also like it. I remember he pitched 21 Pilots to me a few years ago, but it's just one of those things that you just need that first song to grab you. You need something to sink your teeth into, and then you can build from there. And I just never had that. You know, the stuff that he showed me, I was like, yeah, this seems okay, but I don't know that I would go out of my way to listen to it again, and I never did. But this is a very weird case where they just put out a new album, but what I'm gonna play you, it's not just one of the songs from the album. It's a fan remix where there's this thing people do online where they do slowed and reverbed versions of songs, where they just slow a song down, drop the pitch, add a bunch of reverb, and it's the slow, cool version of the song. And sometimes it just sounds cool, 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 cool. And that's absolutely the case here. There's a channel like that I follow because I just like the stuff that they post. They posted this 21 Pilots song that is called The Paladin Straight. So the first time I ever heard this song, it was the slowed and reverbed version. And I loved it. I was like, what a great song. Holy fuck, that song's good. And then I went and listened to the original and I didn't like it. It's like, yeah, it's all fast and high-pitched and lame. I literally only like this song when it's slowed down with the reverb, burp, 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 burp. But this way, it is beautiful. What a beautiful fucking song, man. There's just something about, like, I don't know what the heck this song is even about, but there's this part where he sings, I would cross the Paladin Strait without any flotation just to catch a visual aid of you on the other shoreline. And just the way he says you on the other shoreline, and I have no idea what this song is even fucking about, but it just gives me shivers, man. It gives me goosebumps. It's just like, whoa. I don't know what the relevance of this is, but it feels important. It feels like you're saying something very cool, and I don't know how to explain it. But yeah, this song is fucking beautiful, man. Beautiful. And I mean, hey, feel free to go check out the album version as well. Maybe you'll like it. But for me, slowed and reverbed all the way. Paladin Straight by 21 Pilots. With a little fan remixing, this is a fucking beautiful song. So I finally found a 21 Pilots song that I like, sort of, kind of. Apologies to 21 Pilots. All right, well, thank you for listening to another episode of my rambling. I don't know if there'll be any more episodes from Taiwan, probably not. And then if all goes well, I'm actually gonna go back to Japan for one more tour, one more visit. Fingers crossed, because I'm actually going back a little sooner than I'm supposed to, but from what research I've done, it should be okay. We will see. But yeah, at the rate I'm getting anything done here, writing-wise, I don't expect there'll be any more updates from Taipei. But Taipei is excellent, 100% recommended. I love it here. This place is great. I look forward to coming back in the future. All right, thank you for listening.
fighting while I find Nico, even though I'm past the point of no return. Climb the top of the tower, show yourself I yell louder, even though I'm past the point of no return. Climb the top.